You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You are now listening to TBN on SilverAndBlackPride.com.
Do subscribe, you know, like, dislike, you know, whatever. Hopefully the Steelers fans come back. Where they at this week? Let's see where the Steelers guys are talking crap in the comments. See if they're here this week. See if they came back after this game. But you know, you guys are going to do subscribe. You see this on iTunes. Make sure you subscribe there. You know, we had a big win, guys. Big win. Win at the Pittsburgh early morning game on the road in a hostile environment. And pulled it out pretty convincingly, in my opinion. I thought it was a pretty convincing win. It wasn't that close of a game as the score seemed, but it was definitely a convincing win. So, you know, we're excited, guys. Make sure you follow us on Twitter too. Is it M Holder 95.
We're down at one point.
Yeah, we'll get it down. And then you know, at BD Williams 18, and of course me at the Mark John NFL. So. What'd you guys think of the game? What'd you guys think?
First reaction really is like you're saying, it's a road early morning game, East Coast technically. A lot of things that this team hasn't done well in the past, and not did they just like play well enough to win. I feel like it was pretty convincing. They were beating this team from first quarter on the rest of the game, you know?
Yeah.
So it was a convincing win. It wasn't just like one that they eked out. So gotta love that. Just that alone, you know, like that's the initial reaction. What about you, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, the same as you guys, like Marcus, you touched on it, you know, 26-17 doesn't really paint the whole picture, but that's kind of how you dominate the Steelers. You know what I mean? Like Steelers are a really good defense. Putting up 26 points on that defense is pretty damn impressive. And I mean, they talked about it on the telecast too, or on the broadcast when they were talking about the defense. Like it just looks like a completely new group up front. Like they're winning in pass rush all the time. They dominated, I thought, again in the trenches. I mean, I don't think I'm trying to look at the Steelers stats here. Let's see what they had rushing the ball. Let's see, 39 yards, 2.8 a carry.
Yeah.
I mean, like it was, like you said, all out dominate. I think there was what, maybe 5 minutes of game time that the Raiders were losing in the second quarter there when the Steelers were up 7-6. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Dominate.
It was a pretty dominant performance. I thought they looked really good pretty much all around. I think the run game, of course, it's not looking good right now, but they were able to run the ball at the end of the game. And I think with this line and what we kind of saw at the end of the game with some of the runs is they went to power. They went pure power. They're doing like, you know, they're pulling. It's a play called long trap. You know, they pull and they that's why they're getting runs. And I think they might have to switch it up and, you know, start to, you know, try to, you know, keep moving, running the football that way with the power run game, because I don't think the outside zone is working right now. And then John Simpson, he's such a big mover. That's why he was killing people on that last drive. And that's why, because, you know, they're starting to get that run game going where, you know, they're getting to the power instead of, you know, being finessed with the zone. So I think that's kind of the move they have to do with the run game. But, you know, everywhere else, I mean, Carr was terrific. You know, they're getting the ball to everybody. They're passing the ball around. You know, he's basically doing what he wanted to do back there. And, you know, the offensive line was holding up well enough, you know, and I think they performed well enough. And I want to give a shout out to Brandon Parker. You know, I mean, Brandon Parker came in and we didn't hear anything about him after that. After he came in, we didn't hear a word about him. Yeah. So I haven't gone back and watched it yet. But he came in and he did his job, bro. So, if Leatherwood's down, go ahead, Matt.
I was just going to say, I thought he played better than Leatherwood. I mean, we saw Leatherwood in the first half was kind of like the same thing as we saw on Monday night. You know, he kind of struggled in pass protection, had that hold that took off a touchdown. And then, like you said, Brandon Parker went in and that was the last thing we heard about him. And you know, as an offensive lineman, that's a perfect game, right?
Yeah. And I know TJ Watt went down, but I mean, Parker still went in there and he was legit, bro. So I'm really excited about him, you know, because everybody's worried about the swing tackle. And we saw it happen and he came in and, you know, kind of, you know, dropped those fears. So.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like you said, go ahead,
Biggie. If I can just jump in, you know, like I'm hearing a lot of people who like to play devil's advocate. They go, okay, wait, Raiders did this, you know, they scored 26 points, but this defense was down Hayden, it was down Watt, it was down Bush, you know, quite a few impact players. So what would your reaction be to that?
I mean, the Raiders are down at their line. I mean, there are two backup guards at line. You know, Josh Jacobs is out, right? So they couldn't run the ball. You know, they got injuries too. You know, Casey Hayward went down in this game. I don't want to hear it, to be honest. I mean, everybody got injuries. So,
like you touched on it with the offensive line, there's still Cam Hayward. I mean, Tyson Alualu ended up going out, still have Warnley. I mean, this is still a really good defense. Granted, the DBs were a little bit banged up after without Joe Hayden and whatnot. But, I mean, this is still like a very good defense. It's still a very good, you know, defensive philosophy that they have going on in Pittsburgh. And, I mean, as far as pass rushers go, they don't have any shortage of that. Alex Highsmith's a really good pass rusher. I don't think he did anything. And I think Colton Miller shut him down. And then Melvin Ingram, like I said, as soon as Parker came into the game, and I didn't see anything or hear anything from Melvin Ingram either. So,
yeah,
I mean, that's the biggest thing is this is not a Steelers defense that lacked depth. So even with the injuries, I think it's still impressive.
100%, bro. 100%.
Yeah. I definitely think that the most impressive thing was just like, okay, Josh Jacobs is down. So we're going to pass the ball and we're going to pass the ball a lot. I know that they ran in key situational times.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Hold on. But then also, they were just opening it up down the field. They were, like you were saying, Marcus, they were hitting that seam, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So, what did you guys see from the wide receivers in this game?
They were working it. I mean, Brian Edwards was getting open. You know, he had a nice catch on the dig, pure hands on the dig route, the Yankee that they ran. So, you know, that's where they need to use him, keep him on the digs. Ruggs was being used underneath and on digs and on different areas. And then they hit him with the deep ball. It was like they kind of caught him off guard because I don't know, you know, I don't have all 22 yet. So I don't know how much they sent him deep, but it was interesting to me that, you know, they were using him a lot underneath. And then when they hit the deep shot, it was there. You know what I mean? Like there was nobody over the top for that. They weren't ready for it. You know what I mean? It's like they sunk, they made the safeties kind of, trust the short stuff. And then they hit him over the top. So I really liked how they used to work. Go ahead, man.
I was going to say on that touchdown, like you're talking about, you know, they had, you know, that you could tell the Steelers were trying to game plan to take away Waller. I mean, surprise, surprise. And like they had like Minkah Fitzpatrick sucking up on that. And that opened up Waller or Ruggs on the dig.
Yeah.
I mean, I touched on it last week, you know, last week we talked about Darren Waller having 19 targets, nobody else having 10. Well, this week it was the opposite story. No one else had 10, three guys, Ruggs, Waller and Renfro all had 7. Drake had 6. And then Edwards with 3. I mean, like that was exactly what I wanted to see. You know, I talked about it on the show last week. I even wrote about it on the website too.
Yeah.
Of like, you know, the Raiders can't have this one, you know, Ruggs and Edwards not get a catch till 5 minutes left. And that was a completely different story. They righted their wrong. And I mean, that's what I always love to see with the Raiders too, is like, even when they win, they're still fixing the stuff that they need to do. And I feel like that's the sign of a good team, a team that can keep moving forward and keep making adjustments. So
yeah. Yeah.
I was extremely happy with the wideouts.
Yeah, me too, man. And on that last play, that touchdown, I mean, Carr, that play was all Carr because he actually moved, he kept Minkah there. He pumped, he actually pump faked to Waller too. Like he pumped to Waller. So it kept Minkah there. And then he hit him over the top. Like that was like all, that was all him. And I talked about it on the previous show was eye manipulation. Like this team is, they follow the quarterback's eyes. And they played the same defense they did against the Bills. So I think that's the defense they're playing this year. So that was interesting too. But BD, what'd you think about the defense, man?
You talking about Raiders defense?
Raiders
defense. Okay, we can move on to Raiders defense. You know, we knew that the Steelers were going to come in and they were going to throw the ball on the outside and take deep shots, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what they did against the Bills. That's what they did against the Raiders. Biggest thing, I know a lot of people are up on the pass rush right now. I think there's a lot of hustle there. Like they're not dying, right? Like they're going to keep on coming until the ball is out of the quarterback's hands. And I think that is putting a lot of harassment. Like I would like to see the occasional just like quick win.
Yeah.
Flash sack that only took like 2 seconds for it to happen. You'd like to see some more of that happening, I think. And then that's when this pass rush is really going to take the next step. But in the secondary, tons of ball production from the corners. Oh my goodness. All these guys, Arnett even got in with a little pass breakup at the end. Obviously, Hayward, what do you have, like 3 pass breakups today? And then Mullins out there with the interception. I think he had a separate pass breakup too. So it's just like just an incredible amount of ball production from these corners out there. And honestly, like, I haven't seen a game like that from the Raiders the entire time I've been charting them. And I didn't even chart. I'm going off the broadcast right now. So there might be a few more hidden in there. Like, this is a fantastic game. So I'm really excited about the secondary, honestly, at least, you know, going up against this quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah. They were tested, bro. And then they showed up, and you really like that. You really like that. I mean, even Arnett had a pass breakup. I know he had that big play to chase Claypool, which was a push off, but you know, that was whatever. But he had a nice breakup too. I mean, so they all look good, to be honest. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the pass rush, like, one of the things, like, BD definitely talked on, and I think both of Solomon Thomas's sacks, at least one of them was a coverage sack. But I mean, at the end of the day, you know, those guys, a guy like that, that's the guy that you want to see at least having the motor or whatnot, if he's going to bring something to the table. But I mean, I definitely felt like, what's his name? Yannick Ngakoue was not quite himself. I felt like he was still kind of, you could tell he was a little bit gimpy, not quite as fast, but I felt like what's his, Max Crosby had another big game too. I mean, early in the game, he was getting pressure. I felt like he kind of disappeared a little bit towards the end, but I mean, he ended up with five, I'm looking at the stats on ESPN, 5 QB hits. He was all over Big Ben today. Whoa. So, and I think three of them came in like the first like three drives. So
you got the Dolphins coming up next week, bro.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And without Tua too. So it seems like.
There you go. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
I was going to talk about Carl Nassib. Okay. Nassib had a great game too. I think Nassib is he's definitely playing up to that contract. I mean, he actually took less money. He got to he didn't take less money. He just got to restructure it to a signing bonus. Yeah, but he's making people, you know, who are mad about that contract, he's living up to it now. So he's had two good games in a row.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just impressed. Like I was saying before, the hustle from this group, like, they're going to come. They're going to be, you know, some of these guys are going to sub in and be a little fresher, right? And they're just going to keep on coming after that quarterback. So like it's just gonna, like, all of the quarterbacks are gonna watch the Raiders on Sunday and be like, oh, this game's gonna suck, right? Like, they're not, you know.
You cut out the whole time. You're gonna have to repeat that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
People on live are like, what the hell is going on here? Okay.
Yeah.
Hold on. Hold on. Let me check.
Did we cut out too?
No, you didn't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. All I'm saying is the hustle from the defensive line look really good. These guys are coming in waves, and quarterbacks who are going to watch these guys on film, they're going to see this defensive line and be like, wow, this game's going to suck. Like, these guys aren't letting off the gas at all. So I think that's the most impressive part from the defensive line, at least that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's everything's encouraging, bro. All these plays are encouraging, and the Steelers are a really good team. I know people are going to try to act like maybe the Steelers aren't good now because the Raiders beat them, but nah, man, that's a good team, bro. They stomped the Bills last week. I mean, they didn't stomp the Bills, but they controlled that offense, right? And then the Bills went up and put 35 on the Dolphins. So that's a good team, bro.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you said that. Like, I went on a couple of Pittsburgh podcasts this week just to whatnot, and people were like, oh, you asked me, like, I got the question, like, was this the Raiders being good or the Ravens just being as bad as we thought they were? I'm like, who the hell thought the Ravens were going to be bad going into Monday Night Football? Like,
Steelers fans.
They were the favorite. Like, yeah, Steelers fans. Exactly.
Steelers fans. Yes. Yeah, it's like a Chargers guy coming on our show. I would give him crap too. So I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it is funny that you bring that up. It's like, yeah, but now it's like, oh, Steelers, are the Steelers legit, or is it that 1-4 team that we saw at the end of last year? Now that's gonna be the talk of the week.
Yeah. What is wrong with the Steelers offense? You know, that's gonna be the talk of the week, bro. I'm telling you. And it was like that last week when they beat the Ravens too. I mean, you heard how bad Lamar Jackson played when he didn't even play bad. So, I mean, all they talked about was like, oh, is Lamar Jackson can't throw? And he's like, they act like he threw like under 50% last week, and he did it. So, I mean, you're gonna hear the same thing this week. They're gonna downplay the Steelers. Are the Steelers really good? You know, whatever. So,
gosh.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, and
I think
you're on mute, Bureau.
Okay, yeah, I gotta unmute myself. The defense is banged up, but that's a good defense. Okay, the offense for the Steelers is not good. So
okay, yeah.
Ravens would beat the Steelers straight up. Like, no, this offense is no good. So I'm sorry. Once again, their two biggest plays. What happens? They're just taking shots on the outside and pushing off the entire time. They're gonna do it until they get it called on them. So more power to them. But like, it's not a sustainable model. The majority of your drives having to like be fade balls to the outside. You know, it's just two freak plays happened for the Raiders defense. I'm pretty encouraged that they showed up and dominated this defense or this Pittsburgh Steelers offense the way they did.
Yeah. It was a good showing. I want to talk about the Steelers, the refs with the Steelers. You know, I talked about that in the pregame, the preview, about how they're they get the most calls. They got some BS calls, bro. I mean, how did they not flag on the car play? Like, how did that not get a flag? Like, you got hit in the legs.
And you didn't throw a flag. I didn't even think of that. Yeah, because that's too low, right?
Yeah.
It should have been on the kickoff.
Not on the kickoff, on the
roughing the passer,
We had the touchdown throw, and it was super late too.
Yeah,
it was weird. And then they called roughing on Ben Roethlisberger. Like, it was good thing they got out of there without getting some cheap pass interference calls. So yeah. I was worried about that.
Yeah, I mean, also, was there a hold? Was the ref attributing a hold to someone else besides Leatherwood, because that was not a hold.
It wasn't a hold.
So,
I mean, Leatherwood kind of olayed, but like,
I would hear your argument on that one better if Leatherwood didn't get beat. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's if you don't get beat and like, it's like the defensive lineman's like bringing like going or working to the inside or whatever, you get a cheap call. Like, I can see it, but when you get beat, like, it's hard to bounce back.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, maybe it's like, okay, he got beat bad, so the ref is seeing, oh, he's going to need to reach out for him, and he's just, like, thinking, okay, well, he's holding if he's doing that, but Leatherwood didn't do that on that play, at least. I mean, he barely touched the guy, so how could it be a hold? But anyways.
this is true.
Exactly. That's the point. That's what I'm saying. He basically olayed. I don't know how he's, like, he just kind of just let the guy go.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. But anyways.
Yeah. So, questionable officiating. Despite questionable officiating, despite an early start on the East Coast, road team, okay, despite, you know, having some issues, like they're having some drives that are just like falling apart because of the snap, because some false starts, things like that. They're just like punching themselves or kicking themselves, right? Mm-hmm. They still handily won this game, right? So, like, come on. A lot of times we'd see these things in the past have a snowball effect and just like derail the team's chance.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and this year it's like, no, we're doing this. Go ahead.
Kind of on that point, the one thing I want to touch on too is like, I feel like with like Derek Carr, like what are we talking about? Inconsistency to put two games in a row, struggles to win on the road, won a big game on the road on a, like you said, on an East Coast kick.
Mm-hmm.
Needs the situation to be perfect around him. Three offensive linemen out, still went out and balled out.
Yeah.
Needs great receivers. We saw last week the receivers corps. I mean, they looked a lot better today, obviously.
Yeah.
So last week the receiving corps not that great. And what did he do? He just came out and balled out. I think we got to tip our caps to him. He's a guy that, you know, I know I've been hard on in the past. And I mean, he had a hell of a game today. He put together two really good games. I mean, what he had, they showed a stat at the end. He's got like over 900 yards, like for the first time in his career after two games. Like, that's unreal. And like, it was like some sort of historical NFL stat. I mean, I got to give the guy a ton of credit right now. Like you said, like battling back from that injury too, you know, coming back. And I mean, didn't look like he missed a beat, and he had a hell of a game again.
Yeah. He was hurt too, man. Cause when he threw that touchdown, he went to go hug Gruden. He was limping and he was running.
Yeah.
He was hurt, bro. He was hurt pretty bad. I think
he was trying to mask like how hurt he was. Like, you know, he was down on the ground for a while. And like you said, like that was like, he got straight up rolled up on his ankle. Like I was legitimately worried about him being out. I thought it was almost Nate Pete time, guys, but
me too, bro.
I think he's definitely gonna be, I feel like he's not gonna practice on Wednesday, or at least, you know what I mean, like he's gonna take Wednesday, bro. Maybe even Thursday off, so Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing. If you're a quarterback, okay, and you get some kind of like soft tissue injury in your lower body or something like that, okay, if you can walk, like, you can play straight up.
Basically, I know.
So it doesn't really matter. Sprained ankle. All these guys are getting rolled up on each and every week. Like, everyone has an ankle, a knee, something or other, you know, yeah. A toe. You know, so like, yeah, take a shot of Toradol and get back out there just like everyone else.
Yeah. What I want to say, I mean, Carr, what I saw on tape for the Ravens game when I watched the Ravens game is, I mean, I saw the tough guy from 2016 from Carr, because, you know, when Carr was really good in 2016, he really wasn't that like a great quarterback. Like, he wasn't like, you know, like the with quarterback play, you know, like how you naturally do things. He was just a tough dude who just clutched, right? So when the Raiders kept the games close, he would just be super tough. But now we're seeing the mixture of both. We're seeing the mind of Derek Carr, where he's moving guys with his eyes. He's trying to do things with, you know, manipulate coverages. He's doing things in the pocket we've never really seen him do before. And we're seeing the mind mixed with the toughness. And if that happens, bro, it's going to be a good season for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Any other topics we want to hit on, guys?
No, I'm good, bro. I'm good.
Okay.
One that's not tape related, not game related, but it got me thinking with the 10 o'clock kick. I'm curious, out of the two, BD, one for you. So the early kick and the afternoon kick, which do you prefer to watch the Raider game on Sunday?
Non-prime time.
You have a preference between, you either get the game over with early or you kind of wait and like have that like full day and whatnot. I guess it's a little bit different for you, BD, on the West Coast or being on the East Coast.
Yeah, on the East Coast is different for sure. Like the 4 o'clock game, I could just like get all my errands done. I could grocery shop. I could do everything I need to do. I'm back home 4 o'clock watching the Raiders play. That's I think a little bit more manageable. When it's right smack dab in the middle of the day, you know, you gotta, when do I take the kids, you know,
yeah,
to the park or something like that? You know, I gotta manage my time a little bit better. So I prefer the 4 o'clock, but you guys are on the West Coast. So what do you think?
I'm 10 o'clock all day, bro.
Get it over with? Yeah.
Get it over with. I'm 10 o'clock all day, bro. Let me know how I'm gonna feel. Yeah.
Especially for me with like the Raiders in the past, it's like just rip the bandaid off. I just wanna get this over with, get on with my Sunday.
For sure.
Yeah. No, I'm 100% 10 o'clock. Yeah. I wake up, just watch the game. Then I have my, like, obviously I'm gonna check out the other ones too, but like I have the rest of my day to do whatnot. But yeah, I see that from BD's perspective, like right in the middle at freaking 1 o'clock in the day. I mean, I guess it's the same thing we have for the afternoon game, so it makes sense.
But, yeah, for sure.
Nice.
All right, I think that's it though.
All right, fellas.
All right, guys. Appreciate everyone for tuning in. We appreciate you guys. This is the Pig Don't Lie podcast. We're joined by Matt Holder. You can follow him at Twitter. Or on Twitter at mholder95. You can follow Marcus Johnson. He's the offense guy, part of Tape Don't Lie at the Mark John NFL. This is myself, BD Williams. We out, Raider Nation. We appreciate you. Later.
Peace.
You guys.
All right. Can somebody else mix this down today, the audio, and put it up?
I don't really have like any kind of
Can you, Matt,
software?
I could probably do it later tonight. I do got a bunch of PFF stuff to get to. And-